This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Give it to me!
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing. In a world where March just keeps repeating on some sort of infinite psychotic loop, by God, you will not find reruns here. Oh, no! There will be new things, sparkling new. We will have pulled them out of the ether just to let you know that time is, in fact, passing. Thanks for joining us and supporting our show.
A stopped calendar is right twice a year.
If only the things let us know that time is passing, then we have done our job here.
Yeah, I hadn't properly really thought about the fact that the march that never ended is back to being March again. Yeah.
It's I've been calling it a Rubberos march. It's the march that eats its own tail.
Right. Right.
Never ended.
The internet
we could
is
call it March
again.
The 2nd if we wanted.
It's the 2nd of March the 2nd. We should have been saying a couple of days ago. March.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. It's the 4th of March the 2nd. Ooh, yeah, I like this. I like this. Feels kind of messed up.
I'm going to start us by wading us into the generation wars.
Oh, God. Oh, you really are. Oh, no.
There are so many aspects of this. We could have gone all kinds of ways. The millennials and Gen Z are in a shooting war in that they are shooting from the hip their bestest taunts. And the Next Web ran an article that I thought that would focus my angle on this, which is the emojis. Apparently, Gen Z, as most younger generations do, thinks the older generation, in this case, the millennials, does it all wrong. So, for instance, the crying while laughing emoji particularly is just, you just don't do that. You just don't
do that,
mad millennials.
About.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Fell into disrepute. And so now it's become a thing to talk about how badly the millennials use emojis. They use them all wrong. They use them in the wrong ways. They use them too obviously. If you're going to use an emoji and you're Gen Z, you're going to use like a skull head for a grin, you know, something cool, not just a grin.
Or, I mean, well, yeah, it's, you know, this is actually interesting because Gen Z is, of course, the generation that brought us dry texting. Remember when we talked about dry texting, where it was just like, oh, yeah, dry texting is when you're just not, you don't emote so much.
You just don't use emojis. Just don't use them.
I'm not sure that they're even using them, which irritates me because, although it doesn't irritate me in the sense that it goes with the theory that the generation that immediately follows will reject you. But then the one after that is just like you, because I had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the emoji age because I liked my colon plus right parentheses smiley face
emoticon
for
forever.
A long time. Forever, like way into the emoji age. Finally, I was like, fine, I guess I'm old and I'll start using emojis. And now I feel like I could be cool again.
Is Brian Tong a millennial?
Don't know.
Don't know.
No, I don't think so.
No, no.
Is I'm not trying to out him age wise, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. He's ageless. I mean, that's the problem.
There you go.
Can't tell. The only reason I bring up Brian Tong, anybody don't know, a former coworker of ours at CNET back in the day, he was the one who introduced me to emojis. He's the one that showed me how to force the iPhone to add them to your keyboard by switching to a Japanese keyboard, and then, you know, and then they were always there before they became standard for everybody. So I
interesting.
And I was like, I guess that's kind of fun and cool, but I felt like the old person being shown the new hip thing.
I see. But this article is less about, so they're not, they haven't come all the way back around yet to where I want us to be, which is colon and right parentheses, smiley face. Love that. what they are doing, it sounds like the Gen Zs, is just like adding way too many, and this is very funny, ironic and sarcastic double meanings to the emoji, which of course the millennial are incapable of getting, being the most earnest and sincere of the generations.
Well, also,
one might even go so far as to say humorless.
there's that, plus the young people always talk to each other and feel like what they have decided everyone should know. Right.
Yeah,
so everyone outside of a generation never understands. We were the same way when we were young. We're like, man, why don't the old people understand that their music sucks? Right. It's that kind of thing combined with the earnestness and all of that, just as a multiplier factor. Right.
It's hilarious.
It's exceptional. You were the one that sent around a TikTok today of the millennial shopper in a Urban Outfitters, which kind of combined this and side parting and skinny jeans and the whole ball of wax.
Like, it had it all. And she was just trying to, she's like, what's, and it had Stan, it had the tea, all the things that we've talked about. just as a bonus thing, I'm going to throw into that. Apparently the deal with the Gen Z is that they also just say out loud LMAO all the time. LMAO, laughing my A off. you're going to start hearing this everywhere. They're literally like LMAO. LMAO. It's a word now.
If you follow me on Twitter, you knew I was thinking about this earlier this week, because I tweeted Gen Z, stop using emojis. Millennials, just three crying while laughing emojis. Boomers, learn to write, also intentionally not capitalized properly for the hypocritical angle. And then space, Gen X eats popcorn.
Eats popcorn. Yep. Perfect. Eats popcorn. I'll take it all. I don't care. I'll take it. I'm going to talk about the tea. I'll do the stand thing. Pretty happy that the wide-legged jeans are back. Like, whatever. Don't care.
Yeah. Mom jeans
are back.
I'd
be thrilled, though. Let's start a movement for colon right parentheses. We got this.
Who is a person who transcends generations, though?
Exactly. Well, kind of. Although a person who should transcend and does transcend generations because of his extreme ubiquity is now being discovered to incredible effect by Gen Z. And that person, of course, that I'm talking about is Randall Park, or as the kids call him and will forever call him, Jimmy Woo. So if you're not following what's happening here, A, WandaVision, which stars Randall Park as Agent Jimmy Woo. He was also in Ant-Man, and he is delightful and hilarious, and he steals every scene he's in, and he's super funny and great.
He was the father in Fresh Off the Boat. That's how I usually think of him. And
oh,
he's
really
hilarious in that, too. He's amazing.
Yep. He is amazing. And so for some reason, the kids became obsessed with him from Ant-Man and the Wasp, Ant-Man and WandaVision, and then started searching and realized that, in fact, Randall Park is in everything. He is in everything. He has been around forever. He's been around 18 years. He has amassed over 150 film and TV credits. He's in tons of commercials. And so it's become this like TikTok meme to be totally obsessed with him and to find short clips of whatever, a commercial or a TV show or a movie. And then it will then feature, as soon as he shows up, someone, the poor guy, he no longer has a name anymore, because then as soon as he shows up, someone shouts, Jimmy Woo! Or they like play music. Wah, wah, wah! It's hilarious. And yeah, so well-deserved, because he could not be more awesome and funny and charming and delightful.
He was in Always Be My Maybe, which I think is probably one of the reasons the Gen Z started down. They saw Always Be My Maybe, then saw him in WandaVision. We're like, wait, what else has this guy been in?
This guy's really, well, he wasn't. And he was in Ant-Man. He was in the Marvel Universe for a minute
there. He's in Aquaman? Oh, right. He was that guy in Ant-Man? Oh, wait. He was in Fresh Off the Boat? Oh, he was also in Veep? Oh, he was also in, and I've just, I gotta stop.
He was in iCarly, which they all watched. iCarly is like their total age range. New Girl. Yeah. Community, the Mindy Project. And then apparently, I didn't know this, but it is considered one of his most memorable roles that in 2012 he plays Jim. Like, he sits at Jim's desk while he's at the dentist in the office and tries to convince Dwight that he's Jim. And it's like 2 minutes long, and everybody is considers it a super memorable role. I mean, it's to the point now where they're talking about a spin-off show about Jimmy Woo.
Oh, I would love that. Because Randall Park deserves all of this. He's hilarious.
He's so funny.
He's so talented.
Yep. And it's like the rare, it's just a thing that is delightful.
I love this. This is one of the best things you've picked in a long time.
You can watch these TikTok videos for so long and it will just make you happier and happier and happier. Like as soon as he shows up, it freezes and they do that like staticky music, like, bah! Or they shout Jimmy Woo.
He was in ER.
Oh my God. I mean, seriously. You
know, one episode, just as a
like, he's like the hardest working man in Hollywood, and he's finally getting his day on TikTok. Yeah, man.
Oh, this is so cool.
And wonderful.
And I discovered him in Fresh Off the Boat and have thought he was great in that. And so my wife and I, we will see him and go, Randall Park. Oh, look, Aquaman. Randall Park. Oh, my gosh, it's Randall Park. Randall Park's in everything. We had been doing that before, and so it's kind of fun to see the rest of the world.
I know. It's like the rest of the world's catching up. Yeah. But they
go Jimmy Woo. That's all right. That's cool.
And they just yell Jimmy Woo. It's fine. They caption it. Jimmy Woo.
Don't mind that at all.
The accompanying sound has been used in over 8,000 videos. There's a it's like this music and then they go like psych or whatever. It's like very specific sound. Hashtag Jimmy Woo has amassed over 90 million views as of, and this is how like new we are to this trend, February 19th.
Wow.
Seems to have been when it started. And it has 90 million views already. I mean, it's like, it's massive. It's like a massive thing. Oh, I'm sorry. That was only 7 days after this started. The story that I'm reading from was published February 26th. So it's probably like way more views now. I kind of want to look.
Also, I just want to point out, mild connection to things that I have been adding. He is Korean descent.
Hey, yep, totally.
The whole Korean connection there. He's born in L.A. He's American, but, you know,
but still,
comes from a Korean family.
So. Basically family. You're basically family with Randall Park, or as we like to call him, Jimmy Woo.
Jimmy Woo! my next thing is something I've noticed with friends. So I'm kind of floating the bread of things on the water to see if there's anybody else out there noticing this. Long distance relationships, which is not what I would have guessed during a pandemic, but I guess it makes sense when your only connections are over Zoom that you would connect with people who aren't necessarily nearby. So I have two friends who are dating people. One is dating someone who's half a continent away. They're both in the United States, but one of them's in, I think, Oklahoma, and the other's in New York. Another friend is in California and dating someone in Denmark. And I think I heard some other kind of anecdotal, like, you know, people who'd gotten together and are in different parts of the world. So I think long distance relationships are developing right now, and it will be interesting to see if they continue once you can widen your options and go out locally as well.
So this is so funny because I just had a conversation with the child today, who is, of course, the arbiter of all the things at this point.
Sure.
And he told me that e-dating is a huge thing and that that's what they call it, e-date.
E-dating.
Relationship. And I'm looking at, as you were talking, I looked it up on Urban Dictionary, a relationship that develops online with no face-to-face element and or no plans for ever meeting up in the real world or consummating the relationship physically with intercourse or using online sites and services to find someone to e-date whom you have no intention of ever meeting in real life.
Wow. Okay. That's going farther than my friends. My friends are actually traveling occasionally.
Okay. Got it. Great. Yep.
Yeah. Which is what makes it surprising to me because it's not just e-dating. They're like, yeah, I will go to Denmark and quarantine for 14 days to see you.
Oh, like, dang. Yeah. Okay. That's legit.
But the e-dating thing is, I think, a corollary to this, which is like, if you're like, yeah, I'm not doing that, but we can have an e-date.
Interesting. But it does make sense that both of those things would start to happen because, of course, the internet opens up a whole world of humans for you to meet.
Which it already did, but now it's kind of like, that's all you got.
I mean, I guess so, right? If that's all you got, it makes perfect sense that there would either be e-dating or... Sorry, the dogs are going crazy and it distracted me. Or long distance relationships where you intend to meet. I suppose really the difference probably just depends on your age. I guess if you're like Gen Z, you're like, yeah, or even young millennial, you're like, yeah, we'll e-date. I don't care if we ever meet.
Yeah. I'm not.
But at least I feel like I have someone to talk to. But, and then if you're our age, you're like, you have these old fashioned notions about physical interaction. Weird.
Yeah, there's that whole meta thing of just the reduction in sexual activity and the change in attitudes about what a relationship needs to have to be successful. Like, yeah, that's undergoing a revolution that's way too big for this episode to contain, but that's a whole thing too.
Totally. And that thing, it appears to be summed up at least in one way as e-dating.
Yeah.
So weird. Weird. The kids these days. The adults these days, with nothing but time on their hands, are teaching their dogs to talk with those little buttons, the dog communication buttons.
I love those.
And it is everywhere. Basically, both of my things now are just like things I like to watch on TikTok. And
which itself is a meta thing for sure.
Yeah. Well, yes, definitely. But there are like bajillions of videos. And this actually seems to have kind of launched a little bit around the summer. There was a story, you know, probably like early days of the pandemic too, but there was a story in July on the Today Show about this woman who had taught her dog Bunny to use what are called augmentative and alternative communication devices. They're buttons that that generate a spoken word. And they were developed for people who have trouble speaking. And I think either this lady figured out how to just put it together and use it for the dog, and then it turned into a product, because now you can get these, you know, they call them dog communication buttons or recordable buttons for talking dogs. And so people all over have been teaching their dogs to, like, you know, use their cute little paws to press a button that says like treat or daddy hug or outside or whatever. And it is the world's greatest content. And the dogs appear to actually get it and be like, dude, this totally works. I'm like, snuggle. And they because they're programmable, you record whatever, you know, and then you sort of teach them. Like, one of the buttons might say, love you, and you press it, and then you say it again, love you, and then you like snuggle, 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 or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome.
The way, if you've ever trained a dog to do anything, that's how you do this. You know,
it's right over and over.
Associate it with the behavior and then reward when they do it on their own, and then, you know, Bob's your trained dog. You've got a talking dog.
They're so great. And you can get like, it's a whole soundboard, and you can get a 4-pack for $40. I mean, people are making money on this too. Orange ones, green ones, magenta, depending on how smart your dog is, I guess. You know, you can decide how many you really need.
I heard about this for the first time on We Have Concerns, the podcast from Jeff Cannata and Anthony Carboni.
Yeah.
And what they had said was that the woman who figured this out, however she figured it out, was talking about it. And some researchers contacted her and like, we would like to gather data to figure out if dogs actually know language. Like, can we determine that dogs have a vocabulary? And if so, how much? And so there's a study going on with this as well. To look at, like, okay, what is the actual linguistic capability of dogs? Is this just all simple association of like, right, oh, I pressed that thing? Or could they start stringing sentences, you know, together by saying, oh, that means walk and that means treat. Let's have a treat and go walk or something, right, you know?
Totally. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is fascinating. There's apparently a lady, the woman from the Today Show apparently was inspired after this woman, Christina Hunger, I think, is a pediatric speech language pathologist, and she used these buttons to train her dog. And then now she's writing a book about it. Mm-hmm. And like, they have done all this. It's like you said, they use these hexagonal pads, and then they figure out the kind of like right placement of the buttons to encourage the dog's behavior. Oh my God. If they find out that the dogs can actually understand based on this, it's going to be amazing.
I know. Right. Like, I'm not expecting that they'll find out that dogs could talk if they had the vocal cords.
Right.
But it's possible that they have like a basic linguistic model in their brain of some sort.
Oh my good. Also, at Porter just put a link in the Discord that is probably my new favorite headline that I've ever seen, which says cuttlefish can pass the marshmallow test.
Yeah, they talked about that on This Week in Science this week, too. What? Yeah.
So basically, all the critters are so freaking smart.
Mm-hmm.
And we have just been kidding ourselves this whole time.
That's what Blair at This Week in Science has been saying for years. She's like, animals are smarter than y'all think. We're just going to keep finding out more and more of this stuff.
Definitely true. Definitely true. But I honestly, I didn't expect it from dogs. And I say that as a dog lover.
My dog just sighed at me right then. Right? It was like, we're so much smarter. Gosh.
What's like, your deal, Tom? Yeah.
Been telling
I
you
have
this.
One dog who I think would be smart enough to use the buttons. The other one, I'm not so sure.
Well, and that's, you know, that's true of any species.
But I kind of want to try it.
Some are going to be better at certain things than others.
Shopping!
Let's get some things in your ears from you, the folks yes. out there.
Let's do it.
Joe Hood on van life to America's top thing tank.
I like that so much.
The thing tank?
We're a thing
are
tank.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to start incorporating that into the intro. That's incredible.
Oh my gosh. Joe says, so I had a thought this week that van life was a thing. The new show Men in Kilts is two actors traveling Scotland in a camper van. YouTube is full of van conversion videos, and Nomadland won the Golden Globe this weekend. But then I thought I heard about that before, and I did. July 2019, Molly had the Sprinter van as a thing and talked about her personal van life bubble. I think we can confirm van life is a thing bigger than just Molly's ideal world.
Totally.
Unrelated, when did hexagons as an interior design feature become such a thing? I'm seeing a ton of hexagon shelves in Zoom backgrounds, hexagon LED panels, and hexagon sound dampening tiles, along with the classic hexagon bath tile. I'm not sure when it started, but this is a thing that is spreading around the design world.
Interesting. Now that you say so, totally. Have totally seen the hexagons.
Also and in WandaVision.
You're super right. And yeah, I think honestly, the pandemic kicked the van life thing into overdrive, no pun intended.
One of my other friends, Andrew Heaton, of the Political Orphanage and Alienating the Audience podcasts, driving around with a little camper.
Yeah.
And living in it right now. Because it feels like it's safer. My ex-husband
and his wife just bought a new tow vehicle and are testing out trailers starting this weekend. And they're going to buy one. And I'm like,
But van life adjacent. Yeah.
But van life adjacent. Yep. Totally. Shannon Kay, one of our original thing spotters, writes in on her fellow millennials. She says, I am an older millennial, 1983. Mm. Side note to say how hurtful that is. Like that used to be, wasn't Veronica born in 1983? I just feel like I remember her saying that to me and me being like, I can't even live in a world where people are born past 1980.
Yeah.
I'm not that old. I was born in 1975, but still it's like the 70s. Like, oh my God, for God's sake. Anyway. Okay. I'm an older millennial. She writes 1983 side parts and skinny jeans. Last week, I heard this discussed on a millennial podcast about things that Gen Z say that make us look old. She says, I think the side part was super in for the last 10 years or so. And so were skinny jeans. And those things are now ending. It's the natural cycle of things. I see teens walking around wearing things that look like what was popular when I was in middle school. And it hurts me on a personal level. On the plus side, she says, I haven't been able to side part my hair since I had my last two babies. Now I have weird short bits of hair for some reason, so it has to be parted in the middle. I'm sorry about the cruel millennials who can't take the pressure. A conversation I have a lot with my husband is, how can we keep ourselves from becoming the boomers? Careful self-reflection will be necessary. Also, she writes, it seems there was a very short period between the older generations thinking we were still teenagers and blaming us for the things that college kids were doing when we were mostly in our 30s and the coming of Gen Z as the trendsetters. But those of us that track things are keenly aware of the rate at which trends are set by the young. And then she says her next thing is mid-2000s nostalgia, which I'm going to interject again and say, oh, my God.
Wow.
Are we old enough that there is mid-2000s nostalgia?
It's usually like a 25-year period. So, yeah, we're getting right into mid-2000s nostalgia. It's coming up.
Sweet baby Jay. Anyway, apparently, you know what, actually, and it's mid-2000s nostalgia, but she says For example, she had this following conversation with a 24-year-old dance teacher after taking a picture of two dancers in their costumes. Dance teacher, the Joe Bros era is totally coming back. Me, what is a Joe Bro? Dance teacher, Jonas Brothers. Okay, but I have to say, I'm interjecting again because it's a long email. But dude, the Jonas Brothers themselves appear to be resurging as a thing. But right. Maybe it's this.
So, but that's period? Usually that's how it happens, right? Is that band from back then does a reunion and everybody's interested in it. And that show gets popular again. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And then also she says, lastly, cinnamon rolling. Has this been discussed? I feel like I'd heard it before, but if not on It's a Thing, where would I heard it? I wasn't sure. She says the opposite of trolling, according to her 9-year-old daughter, is cinnamon rolling.
I love this.
This is where you, for example, go into a game in Roblox and give everyone money or items, but for no reason but to be nice. Please let this be a thing. That's great.
9-year-old, that's almost Gen whatever's after Gen Z.
I think that's still Gen Z. My son claims that the youngest of them is 6.
It's good. Yeah, it's getting close in there. Wow, that's great.
Cinnamon rolling. Let it be.
Aw.
I love it.
I'm going to start cinnamon rolling people more often. That's amazing. Yeah.
That is delightful. It's a feedback at itsathing.me is where you can cinnamon roll us if you want to, or just, you know, send us your observations about the world at large and whether you think they are things. In most cases, they are, because you, my friends, are really good at this game.
Well, folks, it's that time of the year when baseball players go to Arizona and Florida to start getting in shape for the regular season. Spring training, baseball is back, and our shout-outs reflect that. Producer Rich has created shout-outs this week based on the description of the infield fly rule from littleleague.org.
I'm already so thrilled about this. So
By
thrilled.
The way, the short version, if you're not a baseball fan, the infield fly rule is that one that you can never understand
no
because they're like, but he doesn't have to catch it, but they're still out, but it's not always. But that, yeah, no, just that it's mm-hmm. that one. And you're like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, that one. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We will start with rule 2.00 defines Kevin Sill as a fair fly ball, not including a line drive or Eric Duncan, which can be caught by Gabriel Cohen with ordinary effort when first and second or first, second and third bases are occupied before Lee Price is out.
Okay, keep up, friends. The pitcher, Jake Woods, and any Scott Ryan Hart stationed in the infield on the play shall be considered Joe Hood for the purpose of this rule. It goes on to state that Brad Sparks is alive and Mike Akins may advance at the risk of being caught or retouch and advance after Louis St. Amour is touched, the same as on any fly ball.
And we should note, if the hit becomes a foul ball, it is treated the same as any James C. Smith.
There you go. All
so there,
cleared
now
up.
You understand the infield fly rule.
Perhaps it would be easier to understand how to support our show at the shout out level. It's very simple. Just go to patreon.com/itsathing where you can support the show at any level. But clearly you can see why it's worth it to get the double whammy of at long last understanding the infield fly rule, which I think we can agree we all now do.
Yeah. If nothing else, you can connect to our Discord and chat with folks about other things. There's a whole channel in there of just people trading their own things. Email us your things, too. feedback@itsathing.me.
Really good drink ideas. I'm just throwing that in there.
Yes.
Shout out to App Porter and the drink recipes. That alone is worth the price of admission to the Discord.
Indeed it is.
See you next
week,
friends.
Time. Bye. Can't hold it back. Gonna break down now. Can't hold it back. Hold it back.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.